This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4112 for Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2024. Today's show is entitled Jason Vendors. And also my, it is the 110th show of Operator and is about 21 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is I talk and rant about Jason and vendors.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. So, I'm making pre-dinner. Pro tip, if you have ADD, the only way to make a meal is to pre-make it, because I can't seem to make a meal exactly when it's supposed to be ready. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about JSON in response to a recent episode that I just listened to. And I work with it a lot, right? It's pretty much the de facto standard for web application processing any data. And, like, it's so prevalent that it's sort of a rant that all of your web apps are essentially probably just JSON apps, JSON APIs. So I feel like, I would say more than half of every web page you're on is probably some JSON app or any kind of like service-based commercial tool is all JSON. The problem with that is that if you're not a programmer and the API that the company gives you access to is, for the lack of a better term, dog shit, because purely companies don't have interoperability in mind, because that's how capitalism works and where we are in the current software space. So if I make a tool, a security tool specifically, or even an IT tool, and it has a feature, and someone else has a different tool that has a different feature, they're going to try to eat each other at some point in time. That's just how software works, or at least information security software. So the problem with that is, you know, we bought a bunch of security software, and then we said, oh my gosh, we have all these tools, and they can't talk to each other, so we're going to buy this thing called a SIM, a SOAR. SIM's a different piece, which I believe in, but I don't really believe in SOARs. Anyways, sort of a rant on of applications and web applications and vendors, and also a call for help on JSON. So what I do is I might parse, you know, maybe 100 megs of JSON at a time. Maybe I'll be working with some kind of something that takes JSON as an input. Splunk, for example, takes a certain type of input, the HTTP input collector. So when you send something to Splunk, it, through the event collector, it expects it in a certain format. So you can't just, from what I can tell, sometimes you can, I don't know. But in general, it has to have a specific format with essentially extra headers. And what I have a problem with, and if somebody can help me, is analyzing, you know, JSON in general, syntax errors, solving syntax errors, key value pair errors, word list or dictionary errors. So if there's a big blob of JSON that I have that's improperly formatted, that maybe it's got a new line and there's no comma at the end, or maybe it's, you know, a dictionary inside of a dictionary, but the dictionary is not closed out properly each line. When a human looks at it, right? And this might be me answering my own question, which I can do with large language models. Sometimes can help me parse that stuff out. And other tools, like online tools, like JSON Beautifier, can help you parse stuff out. But what happens is, you know, when I create JSON output, or maybe a piece of software creates JSON output, it's standard in that one time that it's created. But say I'm doing 10,000 requests or 10,000 posts, and I'm concatenating them all together and trying to encapsulate them properly, how do I do that? At scale, idiot proof. Where I'm not having to manually manually process or manually look at each piece of JSON I'm receiving and I'm sending. And it's getting annoying to where every time I want to work with a JSON, essentially, or the output of any kind of web app, I make my own APIs for a lot of security tools because most of them are awful. The reason they're awful, again, is interoperability is just by default not a thing. And then also people abuse APIs because they're dumb. So they'll do something like a, you know, select star, or they'll do a massive query that will break the back end. And so that's where you get limitations from every API where, oh, we'll give you the first 5,000 results, and after that you hit the page. And there's probably other tools to help me with that too. A lot of them have it built into, so they'll send you the URL to the next. For example, Microsoft Defender will send you the URL with the cookie that you have to pass to get the next page if you're using their API. But the problem with that, again, Microsoft also has APIs that don't exist in their Defender API or Graph API or anywhere else in their stack. Because they want you using their platform, they want you in their UI, they want you in their UI and not doing automation and not using their tool. So when there's an API call on the web UI that does exactly what I want, and then I go to look for that API call, of course, in the official documentation, not only is it there, but all the useful API queries are beta. You run into this across the board. CrowdStrike API is completely useless. Costs $30,000 just to get your data in some form that you can push somewhere else to be filtered. If you're like us, you get 3 million events every 2 days of people opening PDF documents. I don't need that. I don't need 50 million heartbeats and 70 million PDF document opening today. Maybe I need a sample of that. Maybe I need whatever. My ability to filter that out is lacking because I have to create my own APIs, bypassing or including MFA or some kind of my rice is still hard. So I have brown rice, but it's not quite brown rice. Anyways, so I make my own APIs, and oftentimes they're hacky, but they get the job done. They get the job done. And then when they change the UI, of course, everything stops working, which, you know, that's not great. So the real question is, even if we did cough up the 30 grand to get data to another thing, well, those have the same problem in a different platform. So eating some noodle. Things like single sign-on, right? I want to create ping authentication plugin or essential module for Python, so that I can authenticate any of our internal apps and create APIs that have MFA or ping auth attached to them, and create APIs for every single thing that I want to. So we have hoteling, right? That'd be the first use case. It'd be nice and safe. So hoteling is when you get to book a cube, and some clown takes your cube. Well, I have a proof of concept API that I built that will let me book my chair remotely or automatically. So I take I have an array that takes every single Tuesday, Wednesday of every week and puts that into a cookie. Well, even if I reset, what I like to do to test my cookies and their length is I like to create a cookie and try to create it with a non-expiring date, if that's possible, and then with the web UI and something like Verksuite. So I'll create that cookie, and maybe it is a non-expiring cookie. It never expires, or I don't get an expiration date. Well, what happens after 30 days and 2 weeks, whatever, a couple weeks, whatever, that cookie tends to die at some point. So anywhere from, I want to say it's a couple weeks to 3 weeks, even at every minute, just to hammer away at it, just to, because I don't care, even at that speed, every 59 seconds, I still will lose my session. So what I want, right, is ping authentication, so I can authenticate to that service using regular username, password, credentials without MFA. So I can authenticate to that service and automate the whole thing. Then the next step would be to do same thing for CrowdStrike, same thing for Splunk, same thing for any kind of web interface like Microsoft. So essentially, I could do whatever I want to do that I could do in the browser, I could do in my own API. So if anybody knows any way to troubleshoot JSON outgoing and ingoing, parse it, tell you where the problems are, what lines, because I had a 56 meg InMAT conversion from XML to JSON, which is there's a GitHub project that converts InMAT JSON to XML. It's called like Extreme InMAT Parser, something like that. It eats XML and spits out more or less a usable JSON. And I can parse it further through sending it to Splunk. Problem is, it's like a 50 meg JSON file, and I post this, and last month's didn't go through. I don't know why. So I go back and I check and I run the commands and export it out. Works fine. Looks fine. Good. No parsing errors, nothing. Nothing unhappy. Go to push. Do the post. No data. Error code 8 or 5 or whatever. Oh, great. My syntax is broken. Something's broken. The whole script is broken. I don't know what's going on. So I pick one line of the JSON and I push it through. Perfect. Perfect. Perfectly fine. No problem. I pick a random shuffle. SHUF space dash N 20. And I pick a random 20 lines and push that to, using curl, push that to Splunk. And this is instantaneous. We're talking within milliseconds, not even seconds, that it's able to parse 50 megs. Works fine. So then I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I try to push the whole file, nothing. Try to push one file, one line of the file, perfectly fine. 10 lines or 5 lines, whatever I picked, perfectly fine. And then I go to push the 50 megs again, and it works perfectly fine. Why? I don't know. Don't ask me why. Now I start to second guess myself. Now, do I need to create a loop that will just loop through all 10,000 events and 10,000 lines and post them, 100,000 lines and post them manually? So I'd have 10,000 posts to the server, and that's not efficient. Nobody wants to do that. So now I have to do error checking to make sure that it passed and then have some kind of threshold and then maybe error out to a log file somewhere. They just push an email address, which I'm not going to do. I'm just going to check my dates on my imports manually when I go to do scripting and stuff. So all this to say, JSON is annoying. It's nice once you get it in Python and you can manipulate it. You can push and pull it and pull out key pairs and search strings inside of key pairs. It's beautiful career for doing some of that stuff, but when it comes to, you know, a 50 meg file that has syntax errors, or you're pushing to a remote site, you got to fire up Burp Suite and figure out how those requests are coming in and rewrite the whole thing. And building your own APIs gets difficult because, you know, maybe there's a carriage return in there. Maybe the API, which I've seen APIs get angry at, new line characters or new line slash return slash NR. I think it had registered nurse. So backslash R is like the return. Excuse me, backslash N is new line. So I think of it as registered nurse. So I always think of that to do new lines. So traditionally, Windows Unix, Windows is R, RN, and then Unix is N. So this is a program you can use like DOS to Unix and Unix to DOS that will take those characters and put them out. And I think it does some other things, like it will have maybe a null character in there, some weird Unicode characters it'll pull out. Like, so it does fix some other stuff besides new lines and character returns. But I've seen APIs you know, I'm looking at Burp Suite, everything looks great, it's beautiful, copy and paste, push the request, you know, invalid. Don't understand, repeat request, works great. Copy and paste my request to replace what I replayed on the last post. It's an error. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I take it out of the pretty print mode and I observe that it's one solid JSON line, right? When you push that post to the server, it's a solid line. When you look at it in Burp Suite, it's all pretty printed for you. And if you're importing new items or you want to change those key value pairs or something with the data and you paste it in, it's got those character strings in there. So like any software development and working with any servers or services, things can get wonky when you start doing stuff on the back end and writing your own APIs and whatever. But yeah, anything having to do with handling JSON, troubleshooting, I think beautiful SIP. I have some, I'll try to remember if I put in the show notes, but I have some Python functions that are for creating, I am using to create APIs. And I'm trying to write one that will basically emulate SAML because I don't know how to do SAML with, at least the way our server uses it. I don't know how to do SAML with Python. So I'm writing my own Python SAML module, which is extremely excruciating because it's byte encoded, like a weird encrypted thing. You get a key and then you use that key to encrypt it or something. It's quite the mess. So I'd rather not write my own, but I think that's what I'm going to have to do if I want to jump over the interoperability hurdles that I have with my current current setup. So anyways, I'm not sure I helped anyone, but I do need help. So if you know any good JSON parsers or JSON fixers or ways to handle and or observe cookies, I know Burp Suite has a module that will basically record a bunch of traffic. And then it will tell you which one of those cookies that you've acquired during the authentication process are valid or useful for the actual authentication. So when you log into any website or you use an app on your phone, whatever, you're sending tons and tons of data. Probably, other than authentication, you're probably sending probably 3 to 5 times more traffic to the site than you need to actually log in. So there is a Burp Suite, I can't remember the name and I haven't been able to get it to work, but it's a plugin that's supposed to help you with that authentication piece. And that's how I would, you know, use that to easily, more easily create my own, essentially, SAML do-it deal. I think the SAML modules in Python actually don't do what I'm trying to do. They actually require like a certificate and to be placed on the ping server. But what I want to use is plain text credentials. Because I know I can use plain text credentials using Burp Suite to log into internal stuff without NFAing or any of that stuff. So anyways, I hope that helps out. If I do end up getting, you know, more stuff, more Python helper scripts, I'll add those to the show notes or I'll do another show probably. But right now, it's a lot of beautiful soup stuff. It's called like Find Cookie. It'll scrape out all the cookies. There's another one that's like a pretty print simple, PP simple, that basically will take any input and output that value. And the idea is that we'll detect that if it's JSON, boom, it'll pull out the JSON. If it's a string, it will pull out the string. If it's got weird characters in there, like colons and semicolons, or maybe it's separated by a weird almost JSON thing, it'll kind of make it look viewable. So if there's a new line in there, it'll put the new line in. So the idea is I want a single pretty print function that will take any input, regardless of whether it's a Boolean or JSON blob or whatever, and it will spit it out and maybe even detect the length or the size of it and say, ooh, this is big, so I need to cut the data up or summarize it or show you the end and the beginning, things like that. So eventually I want to tune that out so I can easily observe and debug stuff in Python. I use an interpreter, which I've been forced to do because the tools I use require the code to be scanned by, you know, a fancy WYSI thing. So if I don't use it, then I have to go through there and manually clean it up anyways. So anyways, I'll try and post what I've got so far for people to use as far as Python shenanigans. And pretty much teaching myself Python and trying to do actual real coding and put validation. If you have any easy way to do that, I don't see there a way to do it. I see it's all manual, which, you know, people writing their own security modules is a really horrible idea. But as far as I can tell, I don't know any way to, other than like basic inputs like specific UUID spec, email, phone number, you know, basic stuff like that. I don't see any way to do input validation, which is kind of terrifying. So anyways, I appreciate it. And, you know, let me know if you have any tips on writing secure Python or modules I can use that will help me idiot-proof my way out of writing secure Python. Cool. Take it easy.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.